as the Spirit of God prompts me, I need to ask you, is your mind set on the things of the Spirit?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message, which aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us to the Scriptures to answer the question, what happens when I'm all in for Jesus? We learned that as a believer in Jesus Christ, certain life changes occur when one utilizes the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, in the second part of that message we will hear this evening, Pastor Grant outlines for us some very practical steps that develop the serious Christian into one having a Spirit-led mindset. Once again, as we often say here at Germantown Christian Assembly, God's message always comes from God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, please follow along as Pastor Grant concludes this message, Living in the Spirit. Here again is Pastor Grant.
That you can go home and you can look and you can say, here is what God is saying to me, and here are some changes I need to make. And one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, how do we develop this spiritual mindset? Can I give you three thoughts I have? Number one, we need to fill our minds with the Spirit's words. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Bible, am I? We need to fill our mind with the Spirit's words. Can I suggest you start by getting a good Bible? Oh, come on now. Young people, I'm not coming down hard on you, because you notice I'm one of the pastors that actually will pull out my cell phone from time to time. But young people, it's time to realize you're not going to have your mind set on the Spirit if the only Bible you got is a cell phone. I want to make sure every person who in this church says you're a Christian, that you own a real Bible with pages. Oh, I don't mind if you have it on the internet, but I honestly believe that it actually does you more good than you realize. And you go and you make your little markings and your little check mark here, and sometime later on, you know, you're just going through the Bible and you see that little check mark, and the Spirit of God reminds you of that victory you had while you underlined that thing the last time. It's an amazing thing. I preached a message here a few weeks ago, and I had a totally different message by the time I was finished. I was actually preparing the message. I was almost finished the message. And I'm on this side of the page, and the Spirit of God put my eye on that side of the page. And do you know, all those hours of work went through the door, because that was not the message. This side of the page was where the message was. And sometimes one of the benefits of having a real Bible is that the Spirit of God totally redirects you from where you thought you were supposed to be reading. And the next thing you know, He has you over here. I am going to ask all of you, do yourself a favor, get yourself a Bible. And I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. Get yourself a Bible in a language you can understand. There are sometimes we make the mistake of insisting everybody has a King James Bible. I am leading too many Bible studies where when the folks read what they have in their Bible, they have no idea what it said. God's Word is meant to be understood. And so I encourage you, if the only Bible you have is a King James and you're having a difficulty understanding it, try the New King James. Try some Bible that you can understand, but a real translation of the Bible. I'm off on a little tangent here. I'm not talking about getting something like the Good News Bible. The Good News Bible is not a translation, but get a proper translation of the Bible where they went back to the original and translated it into the language that we use today. You would do yourself a whole lot of good, but get a Bible. And fill your mind with the words in the Bible. You know, we're investing money in trying to do this. We've invested a lot of money in bringing you this devotional. It's available at the book cart. And I encourage you, get one today. Use every opportunity. It's only $2. And if you can't afford it, tell him you can't afford it. You'll get it free. You see, we're committed here at the church We don't want money to be a reason why you say you're not in the Word of God. Get one and use it. Some of the stuff was so amazing. This week they were talking a lot about how science confirms what the Bible had already said. How the Bible has said some of these things 2,000 years or whatever. And they're just finding out these things today. Listen, you get in the Word. Fill your mind with the Spirit's words. If you don't fill your minds with the Spirit's words, it's going to be hard to understand what the mind of the Spirit is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting. And the part I love is this part. What is the next part? Training in righteousness. Don't ever miss that. All Scripture is God-breathed and it's useful to train you and I in righteousness. It's not good enough to say, my Christian life depends on coming to Bible study at GCA and listening on a Sunday morning. Oh, that's good. But what you need is to take time at your home and be training yourself in righteousness. The second thing, not only fill your mind with the Spirit's word, but determine to please the Lord by the Spirit's help. Have a mind on pleasing God. Third, practice the presence of the Spirit. Boy, I tell you, wouldn't it do something for us if we lived with the awareness that the Spirit of God is right here? Ladies and gentlemen, if we really had a sense of the Spirit's presence, would I really take God to that movie? I was in a Bible study and some of the fellows said, Pastor, if we were to take what you're saying seriously, we wouldn't be able to watch very much. Are you feeling good to take God to that movie? To that place that you're thinking of going, that TV show you're watching, do you want God to watch it? Those words you just said to your friend or your spouse, that cursing, do you want Jesus to say it? Do you realize what I'm saying? If I live with this sense of the Spirit's presence, young person, I may not have parked that car if I realized God was right there. But somehow we have separated. You see, the Spirit's indwelling is theology. And what God is trying to say to us this morning, it is, yes, it is theology, but it is reality. And He is there. And His objective is to help to transform us. I don't want you to miss that, you know, because that's why I started with this story about the elevator. God's objective is to totally transform us. And that's why He has given us the Spirit. He has not given the Spirit and made His power available to us just so that you can be some big shot. Some of us, when we hear about all the Spirit's power, we say, oh my goodness, probably like He could help me become a millionaire. No, He could. He's helped a lot of people become millionaires. But that's not the objective. The objective, the reason why He puts the Spirit of God in you, it's all about transformation. It's about becoming like Jesus. Is that your objective? And so this morning, God is saying to us, listen, if you're going to be all in, you have got to practice the Spirit's presence. Boy, I'm in trouble for time, but I'm going to land reasonably well. Point number four. If I'm all in for Jesus, I sense an obligation to stop sinning. You heard that? I sense an obligation. Romans 8 verse 12 says this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's interesting that the word that the Bible uses there in verse number 12 is the word what? Debtor. Have you ever been a debtor? You may not even realize you're a debtor. You ever had a mortgage? You ever had a car loan? You see, when we have a mortgage, what are we? We're debtors. And what do we realize? We have what? An obligation, don't we? You have an obligation to do what? What happens if you don't? So you know what folks do? When we have this mortgage, we have this sense of obligation that once we get the paycheck, the first thing we make sure gets paid is the... And God wants us to realize that the same way you have that obligation to making sure that mortgage is paid, He's saying you ought to have that same sense of obligation to stop sinning. But somehow, many of us as Christians, we feel we can... I'm on my way to heaven, so I can do as I want to do. Charles Colson, his book, Loving God, entitled one of his chapters, A Christian Gangster. It was a question mark. A Christian gangster? Well, here's why he had it. Because it was about a gangster. It was gangster Mickey Cohen. Mickey Cohen had made a profession of faith. But after a while, it became clear that Mickey Cohen wanted to continue living as a gangster, but wanted the assurance that he would go to heaven when he died. He still was in the mob. Mickey Cohen invited Jesus into his life, but was still in the mob. He was still running the racket. He was still doing everything. But he was so glad that he had said the sinner's prayer, because he knew he was going to heaven. Really? Let's get this clear this morning. I want to share with you three important ingredients of saving faith. Because there are too many who have this fallacy that because I said the sinner's prayer, I am on my way to heaven. You better think again. Number one, three important ingredients of saving faith. Number one, the mind must understand the content of the gospel. You cannot be saved unless you understand that Christ died for your sins and was raised from the dead to justify you. You cannot get saved unless you have that sense that you're a sinner and you are in trouble with a holy God, but that God loved you and sent Jesus to die for your sins. That's number one. The mind must be engaged. But secondly, not only the mind must be engaged, the heart must respond to the truth of the gospel. There must be a sorrow for sin. The Bible uses the word repentance. There must be repentance. And I believe that's this where we mess up. You know, everybody shows their sorrow a different way. But it's always good sometimes when you see somebody come here weeping. Some of us don't weep, but we are weeping on the inside. There's got to be some weeping somewhere. If you come to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. If there is not that sense of sorrow, that sense of brokenness, that sense of, God, I am guilty, I am a sinner. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus himself said this in Luke 13:3. He said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance. So number one, the mind must understand the content. Number two, the heart must respond to the truth of the gospel. Number three, the will must commit to Christ. You see what is happening? The mind must be involved, the heart must be involved, the will must be involved if I'm going to be saved. I gave you this illustration before, and I'm going to give it to you again. I told you that 42 years ago. No, it's more than that. No, it's almost 42. It's almost 42. I stood in that church. And you know who came down that aisle? The choir director. I thought, back then she used to like singing with her sister and her cousin, and she would sit on the organ and play her little tunes by ear because she couldn't play by music. But here she comes down the aisle. My mind had already made a decision. By then I figured, I think she's going to be a good wife and a good mother. Oh yeah, you got to make some of those. One day I'm going to preach a message about how you pick somebody. I am really blown away. Just yesterday I'm driving, I'm saying, how in the world some of these girls picked up these guys and vice versa? What a crazy business is this? Well, that's another message. I'm going to get back to my message.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
My mind had already decided. My heart had already decided. It was bump to bump, you know, all the things. But nothing happened until they asked me, "Will you?" And I said, "I will." You see, the mind has to be involved for salvation. The heart has to be involved, but the will, there has got to be a moment when you decide, listen, the game is changing. You see, you're all not understanding what I'm saying. When I said I will, it was not just some casual I will. It was a will, a decision made knowing the dramatic change I was going to have to go under. I was not going to be able to leave my clothes over the door. I was not. I wouldn't be able to say, "I want my space." Are you understand? It was a life-changing transformation. And when you say to Jesus, "I will," you had better be saying, "I will," knowing this is a life-changing transformation. And that's the problem. Too much. "Oh yes, I'll take him because I think I'll go to him." No, 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 no. It's life-changing. It's a total commitment. Till death us do part. And I want to ask you, my friend, in a 5 minutes or so, I'm going to be wrapping this message up. But I want to ask you this morning, have you ever done that? Oh, you may say you are a Christian, but let me ask you, has your mind been involved? Has your heart repented? And have you made that commitment of your will where you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior from the depths of your soul? If you haven't done it, you may have come and said the sinner's prayer before. But this is one thing you need to make sure. Listen, if you're not sure, come to Jesus again. Don't make a mistake about this. Don't let anybody tell you, "Oh, but you did it already." It's okay. Do it again. Keep doing it until you are sure that you have been saved, that you have passed from death to life. Finally, so how do I get all in for Jesus? What have we said so far? If I'm all in for Jesus, the Spirit of Christ lives in me. I utilize the Spirit's power. My mind is set on the things of the Spirit. I sense an obligation to stop sinning. But finally, I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me. In Ephesians 5:18, it says this simply, "Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." You see, once we got saved, we were indwelt by the Spirit. By the way, don't worry about your notes. I'm going to be preaching on the work of the Holy Spirit in the next few weeks, and we're going to go through that in more detail as we cover some of the other work of the Holy Spirit. But once we got saved, we were indwelt by the Spirit. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is up to us. The minute we got saved, it happened automatically. But the filling is up to us. And when we are filled, that's when the power of the Holy Spirit is unleashed in our lives. I'm not much good at washing things, but I notice that in the washing machine, there is a centerpiece. I don't know what it's called. Is that the agitator? It keeps shaking and shaking. It shakes the clothes back and forth. What is the purpose of the agitator? As far as I can tell, the purpose of the agitator is to create havoc for the clothes. It shakes them and shakes them. And you know what it's trying to do? It's trying to shake out the dirt. You know, when we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved into our lives. But when the Holy Spirit came in, he found he had some competition. There was some other stuff in there. We still had some of the worldly stuff. And these worldly things attached themselves to us just like dirt on clothes. But you know, the Holy Spirit is holy, so he doesn't like dirt. So guess what he starts to do? He starts to agitate. He makes us uncomfortable. He convicts us of the things that needs to go. The Holy Spirit keeps shaking us. Perhaps he's shaking somebody right now. Perhaps he's saying to you, some of the things that need to go. You see, we can only be filled with the Holy Spirit when we're willing to get rid of the dirt. Until then, until we get rid of the dirt, expect to feel like you're in the washer. It may not be continuous, so right now you're feeling pretty good. But I guarantee you, until you're willing to get rid of the dirt, there's going to be times that you feel like you're in the washer where he's shaking you because he's trying to get rid of the dirt. It's got to go. It's got to go. And it is my prayer this morning, you would say, God, I'm willing to get rid of the dirt. You see, to be filled with the Spirit means to surrender all. That's really it. To be filled with the Spirit is to surrender all, to come to God in a real honest way and say to him, God, I surrender all. God, yes, when I say all, God, I'm talking about my entertainment. I'm talking about the things I watch. I'm talking about my habits. I'm talking about all the things that are of meaning to me. God, I'm willing to get rid of all of these things because, God, I want to be all in for Jesus. Is that where you are this morning? Are you willing, young man, young lady, older person? God is talking to you this morning. Are you willing to say, God, I want to get all in for Jesus? You see, when we get there, we understand what it means to live in the Spirit. I'm done. Some of you are here today and you're living way below your spiritual potential. God has such big plans for you, but you're living way below your spiritual potential because you're not all in for Jesus. You may be a Christian, but you're not all in. This morning, he's asking you, will you surrender all? Will you get all in? Oh, you might be here, you're not sure you're saved. You thought, you may have thought you were, but right now you're not so sure. You come and say, God, I want to be all in, and I want to make sure I'm saved.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.